Welcome to Radical Love, a podcast about foster parenting. I'm Corey Hazabeard, and I am with the amazing, intelligent, and beautiful Megan Hazabeard. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. But for the record, I would like to state only one of us has a beard, even though that's our name we're going by. One of us has a beard, the other doesn't. I'm not going to say who.
So. Yeah, we're going to keep the listeners guessing.
It's going to be a mystery.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, that'll keep them going. Maybe that's what we can tease along in each episode.
We'll reveal.
Reveal one follicle at a time. That's what the segment will be, one follicle at a time. So we wanted to be doing a podcast for foster parents. Megan, this was kind of your idea.
Well, we really just like to hear ourselves talk.
Oh, more than anything. Love to hear ourselves talk. More than anything,
really
I love...
It's a pet project.
Well, it does help in being a husband. I do love interrupting you more than anything and getting all of my words in before you get anything in. So I really hope that that's how this can go, is I just keep interrupting you and never let you speak.
This is going to be a real glimpse into the Hazabeard life and lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. And this is going to reveal so many deep, dark secrets.
We keep just dropping other podcast names, like just free advertising other podcasts.
Like Deep Dark Secrets? Is that a podcast that I don't know
probably,
about?
Probably.
Deep Dark Secrets. Well, we wanted to start this podcast, and you really were the one that kind of pushed for it. This is something that we've been kind of throwing back and forth for probably 6 months now. And now we're a year into being foster parents, and we're like, we just kind of felt really alone in what we were going through as foster parents last year, and wanted to be a resource for people. But Megan, why don't you say a little bit more about why you were wanting to do this podcast?
Sure, I can do that. Just like everyone knows, I just love to learn about things. I'm a constant learner, and this is something that I wish that I had. There are other podcasts out there, I guess, about foster parenting, but I think ours is probably going to be different and maybe more or less relatable. But we couldn't find anything that really related to us and our experiences as a couple, as a family. So we were like, well, if no one else is out there doing it, let's start our own and really explain what we're going through, because there's a lot of misconceptions or maybe misnomers about what it means to be a foster parent or a decent parent. I don't know.
Absolutely. There are many. Anytime somebody hears that we're foster parents, their first reaction is, huh, really? They don't know what to think about that when they hear that we're foster parents. That's really interesting, to say the least, and it's hard to get used to because I think you and I both came to this with earnest intentions of loving and caring for people, and most people's assumptions of foster parents are negative, to say the least. So, yeah, we hope that this podcast can really be a resource for you. Maybe you can laugh. Maybe you can cry alongside with us. But more than anything, we want to get you involved, and we want to empower other foster parents to become great, amazing, loving, caring foster parents that don't feel isolated, that don't feel alone, and can get the strength to keep going and keep loving kids. And so more than anything, that's the reason why we wanted to do this podcast. So please always reach out to us if you want to interact with us at all. You can always reach out to us at radicallovepodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to say that many times throughout this podcast, so you know that you always have a resource that you can contact, and just somebody that you can contact and gripe to and complain and or get help a little bit or in some guidance. And by no means are we experts at any of this.
Anything. Actually,
anything.
Not anything that we're experts in.
Yeah, zero. Zero expertise on the microphone currently. But we want to provide support and love, and hopefully you can hear this and laugh a little bit and also get some strength and ideas and creativity. And we're just going to kind of go through the last 12 months and on as being foster parents and kind of speak our story and our experiences that have helped us and guided us and hope and pass along the things that we wish and wanted to know that we didn't know. So, Megan, why?
Oh, I thought we were going to start with the callers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Line one, Delilah. No. Actually, why don't we get a little bit of background on who you and I are, or who we are as a couple, and
a real first date situation, right?
Okay,
like, keep it to the important basics, the highlights.
Yeah, the highlights,
if you will.
So let's talk about first. We've been married a while now, so let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, it depends on your definition of a while.
That's true. That's true.
It felt like a while early on.
Believe me, it feels like a while now. I'll tell you that much. So, Megan, kind of talk about our marriage a little bit, the dynamic that we have in our marriage.
Oh, I thought you were going to say diagnosis. I was like, whoa, diagnosis marriage. Okay, I'm gonna work on that.
we'll workshop that one.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on in our marriage? What makes us unique, or what makes us something that maybe was harder for us to connect to other podcasts? Because there's honestly, I think there's about 3 or 4 other podcasts, but we just did not connect with those podcasts personally and where we're at in our life. So kind of describe about our family and our relationship, and maybe how the listeners can respond and kind of hear who we are a little bit more.
So you want me to speak to our uniqueness?
Well, not just our uniqueness, but like just kind of who
we
are.
Because I think I would say that while we think we're unique, we're probably very carbon copy-ish of
absolutely
of many, many couples.
Oh, yeah.
Great couples in history, as a matter of fact. No, so I guess where do you want me to start?
I don't know how far back we want to go, but we'll just start. We've been married for 10 years.
Yes, 10 years, just over.
Just over 10 years. We've had lots of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. I think we've had the roller coaster ride of marriages, you know.
Yeah. One of us has been very ill for about 4 years in our marriage at one point, where one of us almost died. And we will also reveal that mystery later in this podcast, I'm sure, at some point. So keep listening. But yeah, so what do you think, how about, we'll do it like this. You tell me your favorite attributes about me, and I will tell me
yeah.
my favorite attributes
yeah,
about me.
Yeah, that's how this is going to work.
No, yep. And I'll say what my favorite attributes of you are. That I think it'll let people know how we're a little bit different.
Sure. So my favorite attributes about you. No, you know, it's probably not a secret that our podcast is Radical Love Podcast. So there's something about like your love and your gift of loving people. I think that's probably, you know, I mean, I think anybody who knows you for 10 minutes would say that about you. But as the person like closest to your orbit, if you will, I would say that your gift of loving people and caring for people is unlike anybody else I've ever met. So I'm very lucky in that. So your gift of love in all people, which, you know, just speaks to your potential sainthood in the future.
Yeah, so, and my eventual martyrdom.
Yeah. Oh, it won't be pleasant. So that's probably the number one thing about you. You're very funny. I guess I didn't get to intro you. I think you're good looking.
Oh, well, thank you.
Great cut of meat.
like the cut of my jib?
Yeah.
That like
sounds
disgusting.
Your Cosby sweater.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
we'll have to remove
your
that.
Your fashion sense. So,
or lack thereof.
So, yeah, no, there's... And I think it's fair to say when we first met, you weren't the smartest man I ever... But really, like, you, I don't know, you had the most ability to grow. Like, I've seen you grow in your wisdom, and part of that, I'm sure, comes from age, but, like, I don't know, you've gained a lot of wisdom in the 10 years we've been married and then the years I've known you.
Yeah, we've known each other 15 years now as well, or mm-hmm. close to 15 mm-hmm. years. So we have a lot of life together and have loved every second of it, and I feel like you have pushed me to grow more than anything else in my life. But my favorite attributes of you are you, by far, the funniest and smartest person I've ever met. Those are two aspects of you that are just a consummate. You are the just the life of the party. Anytime someone's around or you're just so organized, and you are the person that I'm kind of the chaotic one, and you kind of provide order to my chaotic life, and just give me the great framework to live and parameters to live through, that give me the best opportunity to love people and care about people. And I think we make a good team. We like to joke that we're team has a beard, every now and then. And we also have kind of traditionally swapped gender roles in our house.
Yep.
I love to do all the cooking. I absolutely love to cook. I'm not good at it at all, but I love to do it. And it's just a lot of fun for me. And I just like doing that kind of stuff. And Megan loves to traditionally do some of the more masculine things you know, that are stereotypical. And what would some of those things be?
Mowing the lawn. I love, which I don't know what makes that masculine per se, but I think it's always thought of as maybe the man's job, but I absolutely love to mow the lawn. I love to build things, make things, do repairs around the house.
You would build walls and homes if you had the time.
Or knock them down, whichever suits my fancy.
Yeah, you now, and when I say gender roles, we're going based on stereotypes and things like that. And we want to challenge gender norms as much as we can. So that's kind of the reason why we bring that up. And so a lot of the podcasts that we've heard and responded to have been more patriarchal based and things like that. And so we kind of didn't connect with a lot of the gender stereotypes and norms that were being lived out on the other podcasts.
But you're no stay-at-home dad. We didn't go full...
Not yet.
Full other way. Yeah, right. Not yet.
Yeah, this is my job.
So we're not that, you know, we're not the... I don't want to say the hipster cliche reverse.
Right.
We're somewhere in the mix.
So, Megan, what do you do for a living? And kind of give your background on not just as a foster parent now, but what have you been doing the last 15 years that I've known you?
Great question.
And I'm going to email this to your family.
This is an interview, right? Yes.
Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Yeah, right.
Asking you this question.
Yes, something like that. So currently, I am a paraprofessional, a one-on-one in our local school district at an elementary school. I work specifically with a great second grader with developmental disabilities. So I'm his personal assistant / sidekick. I'm the Robin to his Batman. I do that kind of thing. So that's what I do. On my government paperwork.
Your taxes. Yeah. On your taxes, you're a paraprofessional. So what else do you do? You have a long background in working with kids, so don't be shy about it. People are going to want to know that when they listen to you, that it comes from a wealth of experience, not only in just your para.
Well, sure, but experience doesn't always necessarily equal knowledge.
That is absolutely true.
I'm trying to put it in some sort of order that makes sense, but I got nothing. But so I've always babysat kids. I come from a large family as well, whereas the younger.
When you say large, how many siblings do you have?
This is what's going to be very confusing to people. I claim 4 brothers and 3 sisters. Now, I don't know if they all claim me. I don't.
Amen.
I don't know. Well, that's a whole nother nuclear family discussion that we could have. Mm-hmm. I've worked in youth venues.
What does that mean?
Well, you could explain this more, because I was really just working there to hang out with you.
Ooh.
So like a skate park situation.
Real,
because there was a lot of things happening. There was a lot of jobs or hats, as they were. But yeah, you could talk more about that.
A lot of trucker hats at the time. That tells you how long ago it was.
Yeah, that's true.
So tag, now it's my turn to tell?
Oh, yeah. Was okay. That clear? Yeah. Here's the baton.
Okay, thank you. I am grabbing the baton. All right, so my job, I have been in working in churches and parachurch ministries for the last 15 years. Like Megan said, we worked at a youth center skate park music venue in Joplin, Missouri for 7 years or so. And that was an amazing time. We worked with mostly disenfranchised youth and subcultures and kids that were in and out of gangs and different just subsets of cultures that were traditionally not reached by churches. These are the kind of kids that most churches would not be very thrilled to have in their congregations, or at least it would be very difficult to host them in congregations. I also went on tour with bands for a couple years, helping with crisis prevention. If a lead singer was quitting or the band was fighting, things like that, I'd go on tour with them and help them kind of settle their disputes and or help them find new band members. And then I have been in a church now for about 7 years now as a youth pastor in a traditional sense. I have also gone to seminary as well at Princeton Theological Seminary and Memphis Theological Seminary. So a lot of my work has been with youth very intentionally for the last 15 or so years of my life. So this is, being a foster parent is kind of a natural extension of what we're already doing.
Definitely.
This was never, ever, ever meant to be a job. So, like, we love kids because it's part of our life. It's not a job to us. So we want it to be an outflow of everything that we do.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
It is
clarify.
A work. It's a job. We just don't get paid for it. So that's the thing. We love to help kids.
We get paid in drawings and paintings.
Yeah, our fridge is amazing. I mean, it's like Picasso threw up all over our fridge.
Sidewalk chalk art.
All right. So that kind of describes who we are. I do want to say that, yes, both Megan and I are followers of Christ. We are believers in Jesus. We are Christians, whatever category you want to put that in. But I want to blatantly say up front that this is not a Christian podcast. This is not meant for...
Yeah, because I would have turned it off if I had heard that.
Yeah, me too. So
I would have been done. So if you're this far in, stick with us.
Yeah, and if you are like, oh,
we're not trying to convert you.
And we're not trying to convert any kids. We're not, like,
I'm going to spend this whole time trying to convert Corey.
To what?
I don't know. I just want to convert someone.
To metric. I want to be converted to metric system. This is by no means a Christian podcast. So if you're there are other foster parenting podcasts that have Christian slants on them. I will tell you that our motivation for things is because we believe that Jesus radically loved us, so we radically love others. So that is a big thing for us. That is our motivating factor, but that does not cause us to convert kids or house kids because we think that way they get saved, and I say that in quotes. So please, please, please understand that this is not a Christian podcast, but just know that we are motivated to love people because Christ loved us. But
if you are interested in that, you could let us know. I could give you some names and numbers of people I've met. I've met enough people. There's that group out there. So
oh, yes, yes.
We could have you all meet in a room.
That brings us very smoothly, good transition into what our next question is. Why did we become foster parents? We get asked this all the time, and you will get asked this a million times if you become a foster parent.
And it's not necessarily anybody's business, I'll say that. You could totally give that answer, but since we are being the open and honest podcast, I'll give you our answer, which our answer is multifaceted. It's not a simple answer. I grew up in a family where it was totally normal to... bring other people into it, and we didn't do that under the guise of like foster parenting. Well, I do have a sister that is adopted, so that was legal, but other than that, we definitely had people live with us for years that just weren't there one day and then were the next. And so that sort of growing up in that situation, really, that was kind of normal to me, to that your family could expand on depending on the day.
So your family, while you were growing up, had multiple people from life live with you for years and years, and your family would help take care of them until they went off into college and so on, even from there.
Right, correct. So that was always sort of normal. So, and again, none of that was under like the foster parenting label or had any government involvement. It was just there was a need, and we just did it. So there's definitely many ways to do it. we're doing it the legal side. So
amen.
There's challenges and different things with that for sure. But I will say that for us, it really started a couple years ago with having all the news reports about the, help me out.
Tiny miners?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to go not that route. I was trying to not the tiny miners, not the adolescents, the youth and teen.
Coming across the border from South America, yes.
Yes. To find refuge in our country. And I'll throw back to you on all the work you did to find out more about them and what we could do to help.
Yes. So when we kept seeing all the news reports on TV, I proceeded to contact every newspaper or news reporter that I could find that had written a story about these people or produced a story about these people and these children that had crossed the border and fleeing violence. And they were sent here as pretty much refugees. Their families would stay back in South America, and they would send them across the border in hopes of a better life where they would stay in a safe place in America. And we kept seeing these kids.
North America, or the United States.
United States, sorry. And so we kept seeing these kids just pretty much sleeping in gyms, and they were just packed in there, you know, by 100 kids per place. And so we were very moved by that, so we wanted to see if we could become a place where those kids could stay and we could potentially adopt them. So I contacted all these newspapers and reporters, and finally they connected me with one of the lawyers representing a group of these kids. And they told me that the only places that were allowing them to be adopted or to house them were in the state of Texas and California, and you had to be a foster parent in one of those two states. Sadly, we live in Nashville, Tennessee, and so that was not an option for us, but it kind of flipped a switch in our brains. We kind of came together and just said, what about foster parenting?
Yeah, so since that was a requirement to start there, we thought, oh, well, we'll attend the classes. And I will say, just the visible, what the news was reporting on and seeing all these children with no place to go and just being able to be like, well, I mean, what if we can take two of them? Like that, you think about the impact that makes, like, on a whole as the numbers, like that, you're like, well, that's not really doing anything, but really what it means to those two you can take. But I've found the same situation in the actual foster care system. Just they're so overloaded, but it's less visible, I think. And it's around us in every way, and it's so less visible and yet still so large a part of like our community and the surrounding areas, I'm sure, is pretty common for most cities. So we took the classes to become foster parents. We went that route because, you know, you can take the class is not a contract. You can go get some information, find an organization, that you know and trust, and participate in their classes. And we started that way. And just the more we got into it, and I think most organizations probably put it on as a process of elimination to like scare people out of it. Like if you can get through the class, like, then maybe you can survive this. And just every class, we're like, no, bring it on. That's the scariest thing you have. That's nothing. We can totally tackle this.
So, oh, yeah. I mean, I will boast about this. Whereas other people in the class were kind of freaking out. We were like, yes, we've handled all this in our jobs as youth ministers and in the youth centers we've worked at. So we were very excited each and every step of the way that it was something that we could lovingly tackle together as a team and become a loving home for kids in our home. So that is called PATH. It's called a PATH class. And I don't know if it's called that across the country, but in the state of Tennessee, it's called PATH. And
Parents as Tender Healers.
Oh, yes. They're very tender healers when you take that class. And you can
imagine the clip art that goes along with that.
Oh, Clippy is very apparent in that clip art, I'll tell you that much. And so you wanted to provide a presentation for foster parents is what Clippy says in that one. It's like you want bold Helvetica Futura.
This is also slightly a design podcast.
if you want
the design of foster parents,
I'm not going to laugh. Sorry.
Oh.
It wasn't that funny. But, okay, it was a little funny. I just had to hold it back a little bit. But you will go through these classes and you will be thrown lots of stuff at you. And it's a little overwhelming at times. And we've actually taken PATH twice.
In less than a year.
It's kind of a long story.
We're super good at it. It's not that we failed. There's no grade. But yes, no, we did take it twice. We will get into that in a later episode, yeah. I'm sure.
And we originally took it without kids and graduated from there with flying colors at the top of our class. We became foster parents of two.
And instead of a grade, they give you kids.
They give us two great, amazing kids. And halfway, about 6 months into our time, we decided we wanted to go back to PATH and put ourselves through another 8 weeks of classes. And it was amazing. It was great. And it was
even better the second time.
And, you know, it's one of those things where the first time you go through it, you don't realize that how important some of the information is and how superfluous the other stuff is and how kind of mundane and not helpful some of it is. So it's always, I kind of enjoyed it going back. It was much more helpful the second time even. It just kind of, I was able to go, oh yeah, that was really helpful in our house.
Also, that was the first time I realized like, oh, even in the 6 months, we are now experienced.
Yes.
Comparatively. So that was really interesting.
Yes. And so that is always apparent when we're talking to people that we have gone through PATH twice. So it is a great thing. So that is always step one in becoming a foster parent is attending PATH classes and
there's two ways to go through it. Do we want to get into this now or should I say?
Yeah, just go ahead.
Okay. So you can go straight through DCS and, you know, contact them and their child and family services division. Sometimes it's called child welfare. Everybody's different also on that.
And I will say this is sad, but I called them every day for a month. And they never returned my phone call.
Yeah, initially, right. Yes, I've done the same thing with other questions. Tried to call before we knew anyone in it and couldn't really get any information. So that's why we recommend going through like a third party nonprofit agency.
Yes.
And in our area, there's at least four that I know of. So I'm sure there's even more than that. So yeah, there's a lot of, so research, do your homework, research what's around you, and then they can, and so that just adds another element of kind of backup safety net.
Yeah, so if you want to, and you're listening to this, and you want to become a foster parent, and you're somehow listening to this, and you're like, how do I get into this? Please contact us. Once again, we are radicallovepodcast@gmail.com. So you can contact us and we will do our best to help you get connected with somebody in your area. We are in Nashville. And if you happen to be a Nashville resident, believe me, we have the resources on who to connect you with.
We can help you in Nashville and we can at least guide you in that way. And we would love to. Beyond that, we can just tell you where to look.
Yep.
Because that's it's a very messy, even with the internet, numerous times I would like look up stuff and I'd be like, and I was just getting call numbers and they'd send me somewhere else. So it can still be, even though we have so much information we can access, it can still, sifting through it can be difficult. So hopefully one of your steps in sifting through the information is this podcast.
Yeah. If you, once again, contact us, I'll be glad to make the phone calls in your area to eliminate some places or find the right place for you. I would love to do that. Just look at us as just another resource that we're here for you. And if you are a foster parent and you want to gripe and moan and groan about whatever you're going through, or we want to celebrate the amazing
which
things.
Which is like not, it's not the kids. The kids are not the gripe worthy, moan and groan worthy stuff. They, in the whole scheme of it, they are the easy part. It's everything else.
Everything else. Yeah, the kids actually are the easy part. They're the fun part.
They don't tell you that in PATH class, you know?
Yeah, that's not part of it. But yeah, so please know and that we want to celebrate alongside with you as well. So when you're a foster parent and you are just want to brag on your kid or your family or whatever you're going through and you went through a hard situation, your kid struggled through different things and counseling was successful and helped them work through difficult issues, or you have things that you've discovered through your time as being a foster parent, let us know. We want to share that with as many people as possible and just keep being the backbone for a network of foster parents so you do not feel alone and that you are constantly supported. So please, please, when you hear this, know that we are just here for you no matter what. And we are here to talk. We are here to love you and to care about you.
Only between reasonable business hours.
I mean, it's an email. I'm not giving my phone number.
I'm in bed by 9 o'clock now, so.
Amen. So
let's keep it reasonable.
Please, we will contact you, or we will contact you. Don't contact us. No, I'm sorry. Please contact us, and we will love to help you in any way that we can. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If you are listening to this podcast and
he does mean that. I don't mean it. He means it. We've established he's the loving one.
So if you want to be a foster parent and you're listening to this, please contact us, and I would love to help you get in contact with the right people. And if you're a foster parent, contact us, and we would love to hear from you. We want to hear your stories. So this has been our first episode of the Radical Love Podcast. And we would love to...
We have nothing preset, so if we have a sign-off, no one told me.
Yeah, we don't have a sign-off. So this is our first episode. We will hope to do this one episode every 2 weeks, and we'll post them as they come along. And we have about 18 episode ideas currently. And so if you have ideas or things that you want us to talk about, or we say something that doesn't make sense and you want us to say more, or you think Megan's funnier than I am and you want me to stop talking, you want her to talk more, please tell us, because I want to encourage her to talk more as much as possible. So this is the Radical Love Podcast, the foster parenting podcast, and we say radical love demands radical actions.
Nothing you say will ever be wrong, 'cause it just feels good.